Carry on, my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Welcome back to the Greg Herenda Show, where we are honored and privileged to have Nick Medanis, anchor, reporter for News 12 New Jersey, a local boy. Nick, what is up?
Coach, happy to be here. Thrilled to be here, really.
I tell you, I feel like I'm watching TV. You're in the studio, and we talked about it yesterday. Kenny, Nick came in to do, a piece on me and our program, and this is what...
Big newsmaker in New Jersey.
Huge.
That's why.
That's all we do. Not this year so far.
Well, we're getting there.
We're getting there, is right. But Nick is almost in my home every night because here's the deal, Kenny. My wife is just like, you know, she watches the budget, you know. I kind of make some money. She watches it. And, like, we had another carrier for cable, and she was like, I'm done with it. We went to Optimum, the parent company of News 12, and this guy is in. Comes on the screen. You come on the screen all the time.
You flip on that cable box.
I flip it on,
see my
and
face.
Generally, I don't like that because I want to get to the real like stations. Not only are you really good, Channel 12 is great.
Thank you. You know,
I'm just really being serious.
I appreciate that
because I am, as Kenny will attest in my shows, I'm a voyeur of television. I listen to radio, and I know good from bad. And I wouldn't ask you on the Greg Herenda Show if you weren't good. You're really good.
Thank you. We appreciate you watching News 12. We take a lot of pride in the work we do in the community.
Yes.
In New Jersey. Been around for since 1996, the station has been. It's
wow.
Grown and evolved over the years.
Yep.
Great newsroom. Work with great people. Great bosses.
Yes.
Great resources.
Yes.
A lot of flexibility to do what I want and am able to pursue great stories like we did with the FDU basketball team yesterday.
Can I give you your station a compliment on one thing?
Sure.
It's very professional, but it's very local. And local done in a professional way, meaning I've lived in a lot of cities, like six major cities, and sometimes the local news is like, are you serious?
It becomes a caricature sometimes,
right.
The local news thing.
And it's just putting, you know, people's pictures on, and it's like, but no, you guys are, it's really good. And I've become a fan, and now you're a fan. And what do you think of the station, man, here?
I love it here. We got to come back and do something.
Oh,
no question.
We'd love you to. Everyone,
quintessential New Jersey right here.
Everyone that comes in to do the show, Kenny, has a different... like feel than when we call them up and we just talk to them, correct?
So much better to have a live guest.
Yeah, yeah.
Glad to be here.
And to see this organization, how it's run from Mike downstairs to Duff to Kenny, and it's a jewel.
You got to come and see it.
You have
the
to be
line.
Here.
Yeah,
so
to really appreciate it, I think.
Yeah, we're super proud of
it. So if you could come back with Channel 12
no
people
question.
And film it, that would be tremendous. But this is about you. It's your day today, Nick, on Fairleigh Dickinson University's campus. When was that first moment when you said, you know what, I want to do this? I want to get on TV. I want to report. I want to anchor. I'm Marlon Brando on the waterfront. I want to be somebody. When was that moment for you?
You know, it evolved for me. I go back to college, really. It wasn't as a kid growing up. I didn't dream of being a broadcaster.
Okay.
My first job was for my father at a diner peeling potatoes.
You're a Greek guy.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
So, you know, that's how I was raised, in the diner doing all kinds of jobs there. Dishwasher, peeling potatoes, waitering.
What diner?
Cashier.
What diner?
The Ridge Diner in Park Ridge.
Stop it.
So
that's your... See, I did not know that.
40 years he's
had
it.
We're not plugging it.
This
is just
factual. That wasn't the intent at all, but, you know, we are,
oh my
we are
God.
Bonded by location.
Myself and Mike O'Korn. I don't know if you know Mike.
Sure.
Mike goes to the Ridge Diner.
Okay.
Mike played in the NBA for umpteenth years, played at Carolina with Michael Jordan, and comes to our practices and games. When I go to the Ridge Diner, somehow I pick up the check. This guy's got an NBA pension. I love the Ridge Diner.
Thank you.
My
thank
family
appreciate
does.
You saying.
Sorry to interrupt.
My father will love to hear that, so I will let him know.
Okay.
So for me, it was in college. You know, I went in undecided, hotel, restaurant management. Right. I couldn't find my way. I saw...
At Delaware.
University of Delaware. We had a student television network. And one day I flip it on. I see some guys talking about sports who I play pickup basketball with. And I said, these guys are... That's what I should do. I mean, these guys are no good on the court. Not that I'm anything special.
I love it.
But so that's really how it started. And I, you know, I was a junior at that point. So
wow. So it was late.
It was relatively late. You know, I jump into communication. I try to load up my courses.
What was your intended major?
I went in undecided.
Undecided, okay.
Hotel, restaurant management, I flirted with for a little, and then it became communication.
Got it.
So communication was the major I finished with.
Got it.
And I had a great professor at Delaware, Ralph Begleiter, who had worked at CNN for years, who kind of helped steer me in the right direction.
Sure.
And from junior year and senior year, I joined the TV network, the radio network. I did some play-by-play, some reporting, as much as I could.
Yeah.
And then one thing just kind of led to another, and that's where it began for me.
And your first interview, once you get out of Delaware, now I know you went to Columbia.
I went to journalism school right after Delaware.
So you didn't try to get a job. You went directly to Columbia School of Journalism.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
And that was part of the conversation. Begleiter, who had gone to Columbia, said, hey, you know, you could try grad school. And, there's no one path for everyone. Journalism
Absolutely.
School is certainly not required to be a broadcaster.
Right.
For me, it helped me tremendously. I mean, I really learned how to be a reporter there, and I will stick to that till now. And I see it, because the two things you need to be a reporter are reporting and writing skills. And so if you have those skills,
yes,
I believe you can then do print, television, radio,
right,
sports, politics, news, whatever.
Yes.
But you have to have that foundation, and that's what I got out of that.
Huge.
So it went from Delaware to Columbia. At Columbia, I met the news director of News 12 The Bronx at a career event.
Gotcha.
And that's where I got my first job as a freelance sports photographer, essentially.
Really?
Got a couple breaks. One guy
that's
quit,
awesome.
Another guy
yeah,
quit.
Sure. Everyone
you know,
has
it's
that.
Always that. It was right place, right time. You know, a few months in, I was terrible on the air. That's the one thing about being an on-air
reporter. That's hard. Now, I did for the Yes Sports Network with another Columbia guy, John Sterling. Went to Columbia. And I could speak about basketball, but to be able to look into a camera and emote and to have opinions is a whole
different
animal. That's why I think I'm better long-term on radio. Number one, I have a radio face. You don't. You're an attractive,
I wouldn't say that.
You're an attractive young guy. But tell me, did you take lessons and did you practice the smile, the serious look, your cadence, your voice?
For me, the part of what I went through at journalism school was they didn't teach you a lot about that, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Because they were
It's Columbia. Know,
it's exactly. Okay.
It's
so I don't have to describe
yes, yes,
it. It's like,
I understand.
You know, we're gonna teach you the tools. That
right.
stuff's not for us. You go figure that out. And I had to figure that out. And you know what? It just takes time.
Does
it,
experience.
Even now, every 6 months, I look at myself and I say, I think I'm a little better. You know, you know, you can see the growth regularly, and
yes,
you know, it does take a lot of work, and it's constant. It can be maddening. You know, you go back and you look at your old tapes now, and
right,
like, oh my God, this guy hired me. I was
horrendous. Exactly.
Sometimes I feel that way about last year. I'm like,
hey,
thank God I have a job. I think to myself.
Let me ask you not a personal question, but an individual question, and it happens to me as a coach. I don't like watching our team play because all I see is the mistakes. So I'll watch a tape and I have to do it, and especially a loss. It takes me a long time to be able, when I say long time, meaning hours and maybe half a day. And even when we win, same thing with this. I don't listen to the radio. My wife listens to it because I just hear all the when I over-talk on someone, when I talk too much, when I pause, when I'm not, I just see the negative. I see all the negatives. Do you like watching yourself?
It's a hard
Be
question.
Be honest.
I do it because I have to.
You have to.
You know,
it's your craft.
So, and even like every night,
that.
I go home and I watch my story and I.
You do it every night?
Almost.
Okay, good.
Almost.
I think it was De Niro back in the day, or there was a very famous actor that said he's never seen himself in a movie, and because they watch it and they cringe because they know they weren't perfect, and they don't like seeing their imperfections. I'm not sure.
Alec Baldwin was on the Howard Stern show just the other day, and says he goes to a movie premiere, goes to the red carpet, takes pictures, leaves, goes to get dinner, comes back for the after party.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you just said that the other day.
I think there are a percentage of people like that.
Definitely.
But with you, if you're on every day, you have to. And you're. It's just like my coaching. I critique myself a lot. And I tell my players, man, if we don't self-evaluate, then we're not going to get better, you know? And
You have to do that. And I still do my fair amount of cringing.
Right.
For me, you know, there are two aspects of it. In local news, for better or worse,
right,
a lot of it is the on-air delivery and performance.
Right.
The talent portion of it. And to me, the talent also includes the storytelling, the reporting, and the writing.
Absolutely.
So I'm scrutinizing those things. Did I tell that story the right way? Should I have used that soundbite? That was a silly line. Why did I say that? I could have written that better. And so I think that's part of regular growth, which I'm still pursuing. So I think that's why I still try to do that regularly.
Let me ask you a practical question and a real one. You came in to do a piece on me during the week, and it's going to air on Monday. So tomorrow, everyone out there, we have to watch. At what time is the...
So the show airs 11:30 p.m. Monday night. It'll be sprinkled throughout the day, though, also.
Okay.
So that'll essentially be the focus.
So 11:30, the full version will be Monday evening. From the time, let's just say you did it on Wednesday afternoon to when it airs, how much work goes into editing, preparing? How much do you do individually? Do you have interns below you that are cutting it up and dicing it up? Just give me a thumbnail sketch of how that works.
So generally, it depends on the story and the topic. In your case, we're giving you a little more TV time than we typically would for a day of story.
Why would you not?
Goes without saying. So I'm working on it entirely. As you saw yesterday, I was with Mark Evan
shooting it. Yep.
We had a nice crew there. As far as the editing of the story and the writing on the story, that will be me entirely.
100%.
I worked on a little bit of it last night, actually, for about an hour or two.
Okay.
And I will circle back to it at least one more time.
Yes.
Two more times, at least.
Yeah.
A couple more hours. Again, because we're giving you a little more time for this, the purpose of this story. Now, I work a regular news shift, a 2 to 11 news shift typically, say on a Tuesday. I'm showing up to work at 2, pitching a story by 2:30, out the door by 3, going to do a couple of interviews, and that story is airing that night at 10 p.m.
Wow.
That's the turnaround typically for a local news shift, depending on the story. But for certain other stories, we give it a little more time.
Now, do you have producers?
We have producers who do the shows. We have directors. I have editors, executive producer, assistant news director.
But compared to a CNN and a Fox and all that, it's just a real scaled down version of that, would you say?
That's probably accurate. I haven't worked for CNN. I don't know the inner work. It's just same jobs, but fewer of them.
Yeah.
You know, I would imagine at CNN, after an interview with Greg Herenda, there would be multiple people editing it up.
Right.
I'm just the only person.
More resources.
Doing it.
Sure.
Exactly.
Sure.
That's the difference.
What I love about what you do is and I didn't play high school football. You did. And I should have, because I played, I'm drawing a blank now, Pee Wee football to Pop Warner football all the way. But then I went to high school in St. Peter's Prep, and to go an hour and a half sometimes on a bus and on a subway, it was hard. So I picked basketball. But when you do tell me about the Friday night football show. I mean, that is really, that's well done. Has to be viewed by my son doesn't play football, but it's an awesome show. Tell me about, we hear about it in Texas and all over the place. New Jersey football is incredible.
Incredible.
We put out so many good college players, professional players. Tell me about the football show.
So News 12 New Jersey has been doing it since 1998, every fall.
98.
So Kurt Sieglin, who our main anchor is now, used to be a sports anchor. So he was the first host of Friday Night Football. And then throughout the years, I've had the privilege of doing it the last several years.
Yes.
The station takes a lot of pride in it. It's a great...
It's huge.
Look, high school football is a great gateway into communities. You know, you still like to see that in a world where we're looking at cell phones and we're doing all these things. You know, that's a face-to-face interaction.
No,
it's parents going to the snack shack. It's going to watch games, all these things.
It's America.
Exactly. It's a little slice of that. And high school football talent in New Jersey is pretty great, as you were just saying. And so what we try to do is just to bounce around to as many games as possible, do a high energy, positive show,
yeah.
you know, putting the spotlight on our high school athletes. And that's why we do it. And I think we get a lot of, it's a lot of fun. You know, at the beginning of the season, it's a lot of work. And I say,
do you ever get like the it's harder, like the parents that, you know, Park Ridge beats blank and you're a Park Ridge homer. You have to get that.
We do get that occasionally.
Okay.
But look, I try to balance out the coverage.
Of course.
And
no. Now, but parents are parents in this day and age. You know what I'm saying? It's we just beat, you know, Johnson High School. Right. Well, why aren't we getting love, man?
Look, they
the
care.
The letters and the emails.
They're watching.
They're passionate. Yeah.
These are all the things that we want in a viewer and we're thankful for in a viewer. So I think that's okay. And even me, I've been careful not to cover too much Park Ridge. It just so happened this season, hey, they deserved a fair amount of coverage. They won a sectional title.
Oh, absolutely.
First since 95.
Yeah.
They won this new regional title.
Yes.
So, you know, once that we get to
that
level.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, with Coach Tom Curry.
Yeah.
He's the coach now. Yeah.
No, I mean, I watch it and I just think it like kind of hits home. And a lot of times, you know, kids watch television and it's distant and it's far away. When I was a kid, Channel 2 News and Channel 2, Channel 4, Channel 7, and then 13 had the public.
Right.
But you never, like, if I went to St. Peter's Prep and we had a huge win against, I don't know, Snyder High School in Jersey City, it was the biggest thing in Jersey City, it would never get anywhere further than the Jersey Journal.
Right. Understood.
You know, and it would be the bottom of the Jersey Journal. But everyone that was into hoop, and if, you know, you played St. Anthony's, maybe you get a little more, but not in, how many homes do you guys go into?
Yeah, we're in more than a million homes. So I, you know, off the top
it's
of my
huge.
Head.
Double,
yeah, but
it's
so
huge.
A lot of homes, which is great.
We are speaking with Nick Medanis, anchor reporter, News 12, New Jersey, a winner of a New York Emmy, the Edward R. Murrow Press Award. I'm like, come on, man. Where are you going? Jersey boy, Sinatra. Sinatra. Hoboken. He wound up in Vegas. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Springsteen. No, wait a minute. I got to go back to this Springsteen deal. Did you not know the song Rosalita when
you
were in
that?
I heard that. How is a Jersey kid not know Rosalita, Kenny?
Well, you got to come to more FDU games.
Yeah, that's my walk-up now.
I got, you know, I didn't know that was going to get back to me, but yeah.
I'm sorry. I got to put you on the spot.
Well, it goes to the music.
Do you like
thing.
Springsteen or
sure.
no?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yes.
So Rosalita, you have to just.
I needed a refresher in that
You need
sense.
A little bit of a
yeah.
refresher.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But tell me, I forget now the question. You got me so amped up.
You're saying, where is he going?
Tell me where you're going, man. Cause trust me, I know you're going play. I know talent. I'm a recruiter of 36 years. I know people that are going places. I don't want to put pressure on you, but what are your
no
goals
worries.
And aspirations?
Look, the goal is just continued professional growth, really. I mean, I love where I'm
Smart.
Working right now, and I'm still getting that where I'm working. So I have branched out in the last 2 years, covering more news, more politics,
right.
still being able to do sports, which I love, and not many jobs afford that opportunity. So
right.
I'm very
right.
grateful for that. And so what we pursue is great stories. That's why I have, you know, the thing that resonates with me in my career are those awards you mentioned, because they reflect great stories.
No question.
Not necessarily covering a Super Bowl or an NCAA tournament,
right.
which is great and fun and exciting. And
yes.
the thrill of that is unmatched. But it's finding good stories and being able to share them. That's what you pursue. And
yes.
so whatever avenue allows that for me is where I'll continue to follow, essentially.
Well, give me just an example of a story that the normal person might have missed on Channel 12 that was really impactful to you, professionally fun, serious, helped somebody, opened the eyes of an institution or whatever.
Well, because you're a hoops guy, this one actually was in the Bronx when I was working at News 12, the Bronx. But
sure.
it was a profile of Kemba Walker before he was drafted. Okay. So it was after his big run with UConn. So our studio in the Bronx was in the Soundview neighborhood, around the corners where Kemba grew up,
exactly.
in the Sackler houses.
Yes.
And we got a lot of good access for whatever reason. Actually, not for whatever reason. I know why. Because the coach at Rice, Dwayne Mitchell, who we covered locals, we covered them, you know, regularly. Yes. So he helped me introduce me to his family. Yep. And his dance coach, when Kemba was growing up, he was a dancer. He performed at the Apollo. We unearthed old videos of him dancing and interviewed his dance coach.
I've got a YouTube
man. It's on there. Yeah. You know,
that's awesome.
We spoke to his mom. And, you know, the thing that resonates with me looking back on that story now.
Sure.
Like, you know, obviously who Kemba is now, right?
Big time. One day, I saw Kemba play in high school a bunch.
Right, and he was a talent then.
Oh, God, yeah. But no one thought he'd be...
Where he is now.
I
don't know that people thought NBA player.
No.
That, because physically he was limited.
And he was... No, absolutely.
So, you know, it was while we were shooting that story, I had to run back and drop off some photos to his mom. She had lent me them so I could use them in the story.
Right.
And I get up to their apartment in the Sacramento houses, and there's Kemba, and I think it was his buddy Chris Fauch who played at Drexel, right?
Okay.
You know, so they're college kids.
Sure.
They're sitting there. I think they were eating like rice and beans. Mom had just cooked for them.
Yeah.
You know, they looked like little kids.
They're chilling.
You know,
yeah,
and I'm just like, I think back at that moment. I didn't even know that was them sitting there when I had gone up. And they were just like kids.
Yes.
And you see how they've grown over the years.
No, exactly. So that's a fulfilling.
So that story, you know, was, I would say, rewarding.
Resonated,
you know?
Yes.
That was a, you know.
To add on to this story, Kenny, we're in Houston at the Final Four at the practice before when they won the national championship. My son, Trey, was there. Kemba Walker shooting free throws, and my son fed him free throws the day of the national championship game, and he made a bunch of free throws in the game, and the connection, and he's such a great kid. I think he's won twice. He's won, like, the Best Citizen Award, although last night he got teed up twice.
Did he? I missed that.
And got thrown out. We'll talk about that later.
And he un-Kemba-like.
Incredible. And he mentioned it.
I bet.
He was like, I've won the award twice. Kemba is one of the sweetest souls in the world. But that's it, man. When you see the same thing as a coach, when you see these young men or young kids in their living rooms, and then you recruit them, they come to college, they graduate college. We have two guys right now playing professional basketball that went to the NCAA tournament twice, and Mike Holloway and Darnell Edge. And now they're becoming men. It's fulfilling.
Yeah,
it really is.
Recently, we did a profile of Coach Rose Battaglia.
Oh, sure.
As she was going into the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame.
Sure.
And to see her passionately talk about hoops, you know,
that
was a great thing too. So
yes,
it's a, you know, about passion and seeing the successes, those kinds of things.
Well, talking about passion, I know you learned it. You were a Blue Hen, were you not?
I was a Blue Hen.
A Blue Hen, Columbia. We're going to take you out, the fight song of the Blue Hens.
Take me back to my days. 1AA national champions when I was a student.
You're
there.
A winner, too.
I guess.
Nick, I cannot thank you
enough.
Thank
you, Coach. No, I'm coming to
the Ridge Diner soon. I don't want a discount. I just want to be – I just want Michael Corrin to pick up a check. Mike, if you're out there listening, please do. But, Nick, you are a rising star. I appreciate everything you do. Hopefully you come back and do a story on FDU and WFDU with Kenny, but I can't thank you enough for being on the show today.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me, Coach.
And we'll be back with more of the Greg Herenda Show after this.
This is Nick Medanis with News 12 New Jersey. You're listening to the Greg Herenda Show on WFDU.